the Stephanie Miller Show. Happy Friday, everybody. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. We are godded up this morning. We have Reverend Jim Wallace coming up at the bottom of the hour, and the ecclesiastical MOOC, my personal comedy Jesus, John Fugelsang, in hour number three, because I am, you know, I'm a God warrior! That's right.
Is that what you are?
Mm-hmm. Jim Wallace has an amazing piece in the, he did an op-ed in the LA Times yesterday on immigration and how it is the moral thing to do. Nobody speaks moral values like Jim Wallace,
that's right,
in my personal opinion.
He's an evangelical who is also a progressive.
He is also the official preacher of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Should not be oxymoronic.
No, it shouldn't.
No.
He believes in the teachings of
Jesus.
Jesus. Yes, exactly, about welcoming the stranger. And
Yeshua.
He speaks, you know, Biblese quite fluently. All right.
Apparently you don't. So you need a little help.
I don't even know what to call it.
I bet he doesn't speak Aramaic.
No, what?
You know, you don't know. He might. He's a scholar.
That's true.
You know what? I may do the whole interview in Aramaic now that you've thrown down the gauntlet.
I mean, just like watching The Passion of the Christ. God, need subtitles for the show.
All right, and also, Jim, we got turtle trouble right out of the box. Poor Yertle. Poor Mitch McConnell.
Did someone take a picture of him having sex with Elaine?
By the way, that turtle sex sound is stuck in many people's...
Yeah. You can't get rid of it. You can't unthink that.
Well, yesterday it sounded like a guy fixed his sink wrong, and it sounds like that when he turns the water on.
Yeah.
Like turtle sex, and then someone
else.
Well,
it's somewhat analogous.
Right. And then someone else wrote me something
yesterday. The plumbing
doesn't
work. Sure.
Yeah. All right. Meanwhile, this is what I was talking about. Mitch McConnell's campaign manager caught on tape.
Yeah.
Oh.
Did you see that thing? Between you and me, I'm sort of holding my nose for 2 years. He's Mitch McConnell's campaign manager. Because what we're doing here is going to be a big benefit to Rand in 2016. You know, Rand Paul is kind of becoming like the Damien, isn't he?
yeah.
The Republican omen. It's all for you, Rand! Don't you think?
I never saw that movie.
Well, and then by the Omen 3, I think it was Sam Neill played Damien as an adult, and he ran for, like, president or something like that.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You're my favorite. Oh, by the way, Chris Matthews, did you see?
No.
He's like, I've been doing this a long time. Rand, they're going to nominate Rand Paul. I'm telling you right now. Mark it down. He did, and this is my final comment.
I don't think so. Even Rand Paul...
It's either that or Dick Cheney.
Rand Paul has a lot of positions that the GOP...
He wants Liz Cheney to win just so he can keep saying Cheney.
Cheney! Sprouse Cheney!
Rand Paul has a lot of positions that the GOP leadership just doesn't like.
Right.
I don't think there's any chance that they're going to let him get the nomination.
You know why I want it to happen?
Why?
Because our friend Kathleen Madigan was here this week, and what did she say? That she talked... She put...
Oh, she said...
She played in Kentucky and met him and talked to him personally, and
That's right.
Said he is shorter than she is in heels, and she's like 5'1".
We need an elf.
So he would only have to have... He would have minibands at his inauguration.
Did he have hairy feet?
Maybe he would have to hire...
Maybe he's a hobbit.
Little, the little mini tribute bands. Right. Mini kids.
You show us everything we got.
When she told me that, I was just picturing, because, you know, if that happens, the president, you know, President Obama having to, like, shake his hand, and he's probably, kneecap level of the president, right?
Yeah.
Hey, what are you doing up there? Hey!
Is Vern Troyer still, is he around?
Yes.
Oh, is he?
Mm-hmm.
We frequently kill people on the show because we don't know. Oh, is he?
Yes, I think he is.
Well, I'm just, you know, thinking of cabinet. Cabinet. Because Hervé Villachez is no longer with us.
He took his own.
So there you go for Secretary of State. There goes that idea.
Billy Barty, no longer with us.
Right, Billy Barty. Perfect Secretary of Defense.
I think the last of the Munchkins passed away.
No, there are two more Munchkins.
There are two left. Oh,
we had one Munchkin pass away the other day, but we have still two more left.
All right, we got a Munchkin down, but we still got,
two more.
Still got, you know, you got the EPA. There's a bunch of different, and they're elder statesmen.
And the Travelocity Gnome.
The Travelocity Gnome is still with us. Thank God.
Am I going to die?
No, I hope not.
Okay. Yeah, he's a neocon, clearly. He's a hawk.
Yeah, he wants to send missiles over to Iraq.
So the story I was talking about, how did I get off on this? Oh, I know, because of the, you know, Mitch McConnell's campaign manager caught on tape.
Yeah.
Saying that he's holding his nose. Someone hasn't changed the terrarium often enough. On a phone call recorded earlier this year but just released yesterday, former Ron Paul campaign chair Jesse Benton denied knowledge that the campaign had bribed the state senator for his endorsement in the 2012 primaries and said that he was currently holding his nose as Mitch McConnell's campaign manager until he had a chance to work for the Lilliputian Rand Paul.
Well, he can't be holding Mitch McConnell's nose because turtles don't have noses.
Plus, he couldn't reach it anyway.
Right.
I just picture him.
What are you doing up there? Hey!
I just picture him knocking on the tree that Jeff Sessions works in to see how the cookies are coming.
He carries around the "Don't Tread on Me" sign because he's worried about being trod upon.
Hey! Hey!
Of course,
Elfin,
some guys like
Elfin
that,
Senator Sessions, are those pecan sandies coming? All right. Oh, my goodness. Listener Adam sends us a tribute to the Turtle Man.
The doctors told Senator McConnell that he had a kidney stone. He refused to pass it.
It is beneath the dignity of the office he holds. And I am asking him to be a man, run on his record.
Be a man.
What makes a man? Is it the power in his hands? Hell, is it his quest for glory?
What the American people need right now isn't a lecture on fairness. Turtle. Americans want 3.4 million to build a 13-foot-long turtle tunnel. Our top political priority over the next 2 years should be to deny President Obama a second term. And so for those of us who spend a lot of time on this issue, it's our obligation to fight this fight.
How could I be a squish when I have a shell?
Listener Adam in Illinois, thank you.
Wow.
Yeah, he was talking about, oh boy, and this is being from the teabagging. This is not from his Democratic opponent. This is from his, what's his name? Bevin, Matt Bevin.
Yep.
Yes, Mr. McConnell's Tea Party challenge, teabagger.
Sure.
Yeah, has offered a stern challenge to the incumbent, be a man. Tea Party challenger Matt Bevin says this is a battle between reelecting someone just for the sake of sending someone back to Washington, but I beg him to tell the people of Kentucky anything he promises to do in the next 6 years he's somehow been unable to get done in the last 30 years. Oh, snap.
Uh-oh. Mm. Oh, no, he didn't.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes, he did.
Talk to the show.
Them's fighting words. The hold still while I try to take a punch. It's coming.
You have to be coming.
Look out. Here it comes.
You have to be a really bad fighter to get cold cocked by Mitch McConnell. It takes like a week to get there. Bevin asserted that the incumbent senator should avoid smearing his opponents, either himself or his Democratic challenger. Instead, offer up concrete examples of something he's proud enough that he can actually run on. I'm asking him to be a man.
I'm going to challenge you to a duel. Hold still.
Be a man.
Here it comes. Look out.
Stop it.
Going to get you. I'm going to get you.
He doesn't have an index finger with which to pull a trigger in a duel.
No, he does not. All right. So, we have lots to get to this morning with all sorts of we have Russia. Russia is, by the way, disappointed. The president disappointed in Russia. Russia also now
disappointed
in us.
Yep.
So lots involving them. Oh, and Rocky Mountain Mike has helped because we've had, is it me or we had a fair amount of right-wing callers?
We have.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. I loved yesterday Jackie just explained what was happening with the Capitol Hill exemption and how it was just a load of...
We just flushed a lot of trolls out from under their bridges.
Well, also, the trolls are hitting...
No, and you can tell he's not listening to the show. He's just calling in with a talking point because he was calling in with a talking point that Jackie had just refuted.
Exactly.
Right. What? Maybe Jackie could tell me why if it's not good enough for people on Capitol Hill...
Well, the trolls have been dispatched because they're also hitting the Republican town halls, telling them to shut down the government or we're not going to vote for you.
Right.
Good. Good plan.
We have some audio of that a little bit later on.
Awesome.
Like people like Aaron Schock getting teabagged. It's awesome.
Shocking.
Is the stunning Steve King, Republican of Iowa, had any further thoughts on climate change? Because yesterday he graced us with, we can't really measure the sea level.
It
won't stay still.
We won't even notice it.
It won't stay at one level. That's what waves are.
Which way did it go?
I just picture him with a tape measure just at the beach.
Hey, don't move!
Look, there's
that thing. Was a different level.
Look, now it's lower. Now it's higher again.
Huh? Eve King, startled by the tide.
Yeah.
It keeps doing it. I want the sea stay still. All right. And that's why Rocky Mountain Mike asked us, please help us, Skeeter, won't you?
Benghazi.
We all live our lives and take our ability to understand reality
there
for granted.
There he is, backing up to Oprah.
Meet Skeeter.
He's a liar in chief.
While the rest of us are told not to text and drive, Skeeter struggles with basic motor skills.
You know who else had background
checks? Skeeter has Obama derangement syndrome.
Had to play that beat up on Hillary thing.
Many people thought a cure was near in 2012.
I'll be over here standing.
But the Skeeters of the world remind us we have so far to go.
Teachers should have 50 caliber machine guns.
Do your part now by texting "read a friggin' book" to any Yahoo News comment.
Stephanie Miller's a race trainer.
Together, we can help the Skeeters of the world find their way out of their bubble.
Gravity's a hoax.
And into our solar system.
Al Jazeera has a big house.
Help save a Skeeter from hurting himself.
Peter's back. All right, 17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, it's a cross between beautiful and gross. I want to cry and vomit.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Little ditty about Jack and...
Stephanie Miller.
Jamaican kids growing up in the heartland. Jackie gonna be a football star.
Steffi.
Instead of top backseat of Jackie's car.
Mm-hmm. Twenty-two minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. By the way, I'm reading my LA Times yesterday, as I do, my old-timey newsbook. I have newsprint on my fingers.
So strange.
I am old-timey like that, and I'm thinking, what a great article, The Bible's Case for Immigration Reform. Showing compassion to foreigners and strangers is central to biblical morality, and evangelical Christians have joined the fight to pass common sense reform. I thought, who could be writing such a thing? Why,
well,
it's the
Reverend
official preacher of the Stephanie Miller Show, Reverend Jim Wallace. I'm like, no wonder this makes so much sense. Okay, he will join us in just a few minutes. See how I did, see what I did there?
And you immediately texted us and said, book him now.
Do it.
Do it now.
I did.
You did.
I did indeed. All right. Oh, and by the way, speaking of bookings, this is just, we frequently have hilarious stories.
Yes.
Here is our latest one. So we got this yesterday, right?
We got a pitch yesterday from the Ron Paul people. Mm. Apparently he's going to be starting up this new...
A channel! He's going to have his own channel.
Well, kind of like Glenn Beck with his...
The Ron Paul channel.
Yes.
Crazy channel.
Yeah, so he's going to start up this channel, so he wanted to come on the show to promote that.
Right, as Charlie Pierce calls him, Crazy Captain Liberty.
Sure.
And I was like, oh, okay.
Because he's been on with us before,
yes.
And it's been pleasant.
Right.
And
right.
So he said, yes, we
it
would
probably
love
probably be the reason why he was probably unacquainted with me. And once people become acquainted, then they're like, no.
He pitched us. We said yes.
And I was a little on the fence about it. I was like, because you know how it is. The half the things, you're like, yes, that makes
exactly
holy
right.
Crap.
Yeah,
what?
What? No food safe? What?
What?
No fire department? What?
And so we said, yes, we would love to have the former congressman on.
And you know me. I'm very polite. I would have probably just talked to him about the... things he says that
nope.
make sense.
Nope. And public roads?
Not the, you know, racist newsletters and stuff like that, because that would be rude.
Sure. Yes. And so we said yes, we would love to have him on. And we got a tersely worded note back saying that Ron Paul will not be appearing on your program. Thank you for your interest.
Mm-hmm.
We're like, what the? Jeez.
But we didn't reach out to you.
You can quit. You're fired.
You reached out to us. What?
He fired himself.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, right.
What were you thinking?
Well,
you're an idiot. You're
so
fired.
That, well.
So I tweeted out that information yesterday. I called him a coward.
Because they probably just wanted to say, see, liberal shows won't have him on.
Yeah.
And we're like, okay.
Okay. So we called his bluff.
Callyourbluff.com. Hello. Come on. What are you, scared?
Yeah.
Who's Crazy the, Captain Liberty?
Who's the fraidy cat now?
I'm sure now we'll get that booking right away.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, right. After this?
Once we don't get a booking, we just stomp on it and make sure there's absolutely no chance it ever happens.
There's one.
Let's just pee on the grave of that booking.
Yeah. Well, there's one senator I can think of.
Oh, shush.
What?
Huh?
I used that as a joke.
Yes.
I said perhaps he went all fill in the blank on our ass.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, let's not talk.
She's a lovely senator.
Now it narrows it down in such a way that makes it awkward.
She's never coming on this program. Come on.
And we don't, I still, like many relationships, I still am not sure what I did.
No, no idea. We can.
So many women that can share that conversation with her. I was sober.
We've shared this story before. I think we can say
No, don't say it.
Are you sure?
No, yes, don't say it.
Okay.
Okay. Yes, you probably have blurted it out before. However.
That was ill-advised, apparently.
Yes,
okay.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, I think there was just a general tone, Jim, of levity that she perhaps did not enjoy and found somewhat confusing.
What is all this levity?
All right.
We were relatively new at the time.
Can I say, though, sometimes show business dreams do come true. What do I... You know, every now and again I find magic in my inbox, right?
Yes.
Who is this from?
I don't know.
Dear Stephanie, remember me, Joanne Worley?
Oh!
Wow.
I swear
you?
To God, she wrote it out. She wrote wah. How magical was that? You know why that happened? Lily Tomlin said, can I give Joanne Worley your email address? I'm like, can you? Oh, my God. It's my happy place. Anyway, they're doing an animal event. I don't think I can do it, which is very sad because I'm going to be out of town, I believe, that weekend. But they're doing this is actually hilarious. They're doing a Best in Show fundraiser, and Fred Willard is doing it.
Oh, great.
Yes, and I'd have to make a video with Max and Fred. So I'm seeing if I can do it. But Lily Tomlin's doing it, Ed Begley Jr., lots of our friends, yes. Exactly. Alan Thicke, father of Blurred Lines.
Robin Thicke,
yes.
All right. I told you I did a photo shoot for The Advocate the other night with Max and Fran.
You did.
Yeah, so I'm going to get right-wing hate mail now, not only about homosexuality, but about bestiality, when that photo comes out.
Bestiality.
Bestiality. Right. Are you sure?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you would think beast should be in there.
No.
No?
No. It's spelled
B-E-S-T. As in bestial.
All right, well, you guys know best.
No, you know.
Grammar-wise.
And you said you're wearing a lace dress?
Yes.
Is it that same lace dress?
Which one?
No,
I have a new color.
You have a new color?
Yes, it's teal.
Oh, my God.
It's a lovely teal blue. Thank you for asking.
You went shopping.
What pashmina goes with that?
I was not wearing a pashmina. I was wearing a large Great Pyrenees.
Okay. Right. As a shawl.
Yes,
okay.
Exactly. Mm. They can be used as a shawl, just so you know. All right.
Or
anyway,
stole.
That was the
best. Did you get masked by his tail like those fox stoles my grandmother had?
Oh, God.
Yes, because I'm just that old. All right, Reverend Jim Wallace joins us next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Laugh Too Musical? World Too Much a Better Place for Her Mere Presence in It?
How about Constantly Talks with Food in Her Mouth?
Her Heart's Full of Love. No one cares what's in her mouth.
Ah,
30.
We need a laugh track.
34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. So as I was saying, Chris, reading my old-timey newspaper yesterday,
yes.
I'm like, wow. That, it's not often you read an op-ed that makes this kind of sense in the L.A. Times. For God's sakes, they have Jonah Goldberg writing for them. I mean, really? The Bible's case for immigration reform. Showing compassion to foreigners and strangers is central to biblical morality, and evangelical Christians have joined the fight to pass common sense reform. And I'm reading, and I thought, well, there's exactly why it makes sense. Written by Jim Wallace.
That's right.
The official reverend of the Stephanie Miller Show, who joins us now. Good morning, Reverend.
Good morning. How are you?
I am good. What a great piece you wrote in the L.A. Times.
Oh, glad you liked it.
Well, I mean, you know, you always talk such good, just good common sense about this kind of stuff in a way that I think is so understandable to people about immigration reform. For all the arguments, you just say it's the right thing to do morally, right?
Yeah. Well, certainly for 11 million families, I mean, 11 million people and their families and all of us, it really is the right thing, the best thing to do. Yeah.
Well, I love how you start it. You say, some say it'll take a miracle for Congress to pass common sense immigration reform. That miracle may be in the making, helped along by Christians who want to put their faith into action. And so you went and visited, right, with a lot of, like, 300 evangelical Christians, right, from 27 states. You went to visit mostly Republican representatives on Capitol Hill. Tell us about that.
Well, here's a miracle. Paul Ryan called me.
Oh, really? Oh, my. What?
Yeah, and we. I said, well, would you meet with us? He said, I want to help with it with immigration reform. I said, great. Would you meet with us? And he did. We had a lovely meeting, and he's committed to all the things, and he knows we disagree on some other things, and that's fine. But on this one, he really wants to provide some leadership here. And to be honest, you know, what he said was, what many of them said was, you have a grassroots movement. We've never had this on an immigration bill before, a vote. A grassroots movement that impacts, influences the political right and Republicans. So that's a new factor in all of this. And so my hope always is we can find things that are moral issues that can cross political boundaries and bring people together, as you say, to do the right thing. And this is a clear example of that.
Well, and you were saying, you said in the piece that the Republicans you spoke to said you guys, you know, you represent a new factor in this debate.
Yeah, the White House says that. Republicans say that. Democrats, we've met with the leadership of the Dems on this, Republicans and the White House. And the new factor is a grassroots. For example, August recess is happening right now. Remember what happened to health care around the August recess before? Tea Party, right-wing groups take over town meetings. Well, that could happen in immigration, but we're organized in 80 different districts. And so we're having town halls, roundtables, sometimes with the member of Congress. And so this time you're going to have people face tag and say, no, 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 don't say that about immigrants. These are my friends, my brothers and sisters. I know their children. What you say about them is not true. And so we're going to have people in all these conversations to prevent the right from taking over the August recess town meetings and killing immigration reform, which they're going to try and do.
Right. Well, I mean, but again, no one speaks Bible like you do, for my taste. You say it is the biblical call to welcome the stranger and Jesus' concern right. for the least of these that inspires us. Congress needs to pass immigration reform because it is the morally right thing to do. Mm-hmm. You go on to say, of course, God never ordains or endorses particular pieces of legislation.
Sure.
Okay. I'm just saying, I think he's a Democrat. But my point is, you say the principles contained in the common sense immigration bill put forward by Republicans and Democrats are the right ones. And again, you know, for a party that often talks about family values, as you say, it'll bring 11 million people out of the shadows, reunite families, right? I mean, all goals that, as you say, are consistent with biblical values.
Well, what happened here was there's a difference in reading your Bible and just thumping it. We've had a lot of Bible thumping earlier. When you read it, and it literally says in Matthew 25, Jesus says, how you treat the stranger is how you treat me. And so all of these evangelicals have realized that how they treat immigrants, including 11 million undocumented people, is how we treat Christ himself. Now, that was a converting moment for an awful lot of people. The other thing that converted people was now immigrants are parts of our congregations. They're sitting next to us in the pews. And that changes your view. You get to know who they are and what right. their lives are like and their kids and families. Stereotypes disappear. So now their kids are our kids. They're part of us, not them. And so those things have converted evangelicals. And they're telling those stories now to their members of Congress. I saw these pastors saying, Mr. Congressman, do you understand? I mean, I'm with my people in my neighborhood, and when they're hurt, they can't go to the ER because they'll be deported. And so they crawl off in the corner hoping they won't die. Mr. Member of Congress, you know, women are being raped and can't call the police.
Yeah.
Mr. Member of Congress, you got to help my parishioners. It's that
Reverend,
storytelling.
Reverend, did you just hear about this this teenager that was tasered and died? But they were saying the reason he was, you know, doing graffiti, and they said the reason he ran is he was scared about his immigration mm-hmm. status.
Well, if you go to the ER and you had an injury that could be associated with crime, they will call the police. And you'll be deported. And so you really, literally, people crawl off in a corner and hope they don't die. And so pastors are saying, This isn't acceptable to us. People are in the shadows. People's lives are being shattered. Families are being divided. And as you say, family values. If we care about family values and kids are losing their parents, this is a family values issue.
And it's interesting, as you know, Reverend, there was so much, you know, it was sort of spoken of in such crass political terms, I think, right after the election, wasn't it? That, oh, well, we, you know, Republicans are saying we lost the, you know, Hispanic vote, 70-something, 20-something. We've got to pass immigration reform. And, you know, at some point I said, well, I don't care what reason they do it as long as they do the right thing. But, you know, you point out when three of the largest Republican constituencies, evangelicals, law enforcement officials, and business leaders are in favor of immigration reform, you know, as you say, it's hard to fathom the arguments against it. And yet, I'm not sure what the chances are at this moment. Are you?
Well, part of the problem, Stephanie, is you've got carefully gerrymandered white districts with less than 10% racial minorities in those districts.
Right.
And in those places, some of those folks don't even care about national public opinion because it doesn't affect them. You know, they want to win in their districts. And so that's why in the piece I point to really unspoken racial prejudice, fears of being primaried. I hear that from a lot of members of Congress. We're afraid of being primaried by the Tea Party, by the right wing. And so we're saying in those places, in those districts, appealing to the Hispanic vote doesn't help. In those districts, talking about how the majority of American people are for this doesn't help. New York Times op-eds don't help there. And so you've got to there say, I'm hearing them say, I'm afraid. I'm afraid of taking a risk. They actually tell me, I'm for this.
Right.
I'd like to vote for this. But if I vote for this, I may lose my seat. That's where I say we've got to have political fear replaced by personal faith. If you say you are a Christian, and
right.
many of them do,
and you say right, these are the same people.
You,
right. These are the same people who trumpet their religious convictions. You write as guiding their decisions in public life.
So all I'm saying is, act on the basis of your faith here. Either vote for this or give us a faith reason why you can't. Don't just talk politics or racial fears or being primary. Let's do the right thing here. So this is where, you know, risk, this politicians hate to take risks. You know that.
Right.
They hate to take a risk. Well, sometimes faith helps you to take a risk in your personal life and your vocational life and maybe your political life. So we're saying there's political factors here. The Republicans won't have a future if they lose the Hispanic vote forever. But I'm saying that there's deeper issues, too, like doing the right thing and having personal faith replace political fear. And that's the argument we're going to make to some of these people and are making to them.
Yeah. Well, my favorite line you wrote is, God's a passionate, abiding concern for immigrants and foreigners, strangers and travelers, and for our neighbors is obvious to anyone reading through Scripture. And then I love that you whipped out Leviticus because I had not read this one. When a foreigner resides among you in your land, do not mistreat them. The foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born. Love them as yourself. Amazing how you don't hear Republicans citing that particular verse very much, right?
You know, it's funny, though. The first time I was with some Republican years ago in this, and I said, well, I guess you haven't read Leviticus. And they said, what?
They're like, no, it's our favorite.
I read that quote. You know, they said, where is that text? And could you bring that text in? So, yeah, when you talk about what, don't just thump the Bible, read the Bible and do what it says. In my new book on the common good, this is where I'm trying to say, you know, let's talk about the common good. Let's not just talk about politics here. And so how do you deal with the common good? You're right. It's going to be an uphill battle. It's going to be a fight. There are tremendous forces arrayed against this. But we have business leaders. We have law enforcement. And we have faith that we're calling Bibles, badges, and business.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And they ought to do the right thing and pass this. And I'm still hoping, you know, faith gives you hope. And I'm still hoping that, in fact, we'll win this. And if we do, I've heard people in the White House say, and Republicans and Democrats, if we do the right thing on this in a bipartisan, positive way, the country will be amazed that they did something right. Together. And it could help us even affect other issues. Now, wouldn't that be a wonderful thing?
I know. You challenge them with the book of James, faith without works is dead. And I love how you close. You say compassion is indeed all over the Bible. I pray it will also be found in the House of Representatives. It's time for Christians in the House to stand up in support of immigration reform or to explain why they won't as Christians. Mm-hmm. If they follow their faith, we will see the miracle we need. God bless you, sir, first of all. And I mean, I feel like even people, as you say, that disagree on some other things, I think can hear you in a way that they don't hear other people. And I really thank you for that.
Stephanie, I love hearing you read the Bible.
You're like my Bible Cliff Notes. I only, only when you feed it to me. You're my biblical mama bird.
Bless you. Bless you.
Thank you, Reverend Wallace. Talk to you again real soon.
All right, I hope so. Bye-bye.
All righty.
See, there's someone who says bless you, he really means it.
Yeah. He's my Bible mama bird. He regurgitates it into small, easily digestible bits for me.
Like little bits of worm.
Right.
Into your mouth.
Right. Biblical worm.
Ew.
Yum. Okay, 45
tasty.
Minutes.
Tasty.
45 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEPH-12.
I don't want to break it down. Do I have to break it down?
Yes. Madonna and Timbaland say you have to break it down.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Timbaland says so.
Four minutes?
That doesn't work for me.
Stephanie Miller.
Madonna. Okay.
Hey, breaking it down. All right.
50 minutes. I knew we could break him down. 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12. The phone number. Mark in Chicago. Hello, Mark.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
I'm kind of puzzled by all this hoopla for immigration. Well, we still have a 15% unemployment rate in the country, you know, if you want to be honest about
okay.
it.
Okay. Well, it's actually 7-something, but okay,
well,
sure, let's
call
it 15.
Well, that's the way to count it. If at all some right. point you're not counting.
Okay, sure, double it, just to be safe. Yeah.
Right. you know, well, let me ask you, what do you think is a decent pay rate for construction or lawn work per hour?
I think that's above my pay grade, that question.
Well, would $20 an hour be a fair rate?
It depends on the market situation.
Yeah, I mean,
okay.
Because
I see where people want to get stuff for free or cheap. I mean, that's human nature. But there are consequences. I mean, if you're going to throw out people, you know, when they get sick or if they get over age 40, you know, is that...
So you're letting people die.
Right.
That's what you're saying.
Well, no, I'm saying people here, people that are already here, if you fire them because they're over age 40.
Who's firing people because they're over age 40?
Well, that's rampant. I mean, anybody who's been in the job market knows that there's ageism in hiring.
Well, the,
right now.
The three of us in this room would all be out of here.
Well.
All right. My gosh. I was... That was too confusing a conversation for a Friday.
What?
I was going to say, I've been like multiple fired by now.
Oh, wow. God, I have too.
Yikes.
I'm going to get my walker. I'm going to hit you over the head with it, Sonny. Because I'm over 40.
I'm over 40.
All right. Hey, who wants a maggot-filled sandwich from the Atlanta airport, everybody?
Yummy.
No.
My friend just flew to the Atlanta airport, and she said, yeah, it's stuff to look...
Yeah, I remember sitting on the floor in Atlantic as there was just, you know.
Well, that's when you go to Bojangles.
I'm sure there must be some maggot-free sandwiches in Atlanta.
I had a maggot-free sandwich. It cost me $1,000.
Right.
It was,
yeah. Do you want that without maggots? What's going to cost
it? Atlanta's not my favorite airport in the world.
Gawker brings us the story of Joel Wolaschuk. Bought a focaccia sandwich at last Wednesday at a restaurant in Atlanta, Hartfield.
You mangled that, but go ahead. We didn't say anything.
Focaccia. All right. I think it's not the important part of the story. The important part of the maggots. Pay attention. Okay. He noticed something moving on the bread.
Oh.
That's when right away you know something.
Oh, that's not supposed to happen.
Something has begun to turn.
If it's moving, you shouldn't eat it.
He said, I'm looking at what I thought was Parmesan, right? And then then the Parmesan started to move.
Did he take a bite out of it already?
I don't think so. He told WSB-TV in Atlanta that the sandwich, which he bought at Cafe Intermezzo in Terminal B, everybody.
Terminal B. Okay.
All right.
Avoid Terminal B, whatever you do.
Was full of maggots. To prove the maggots existed, he kept the sandwich intact throughout his business trip to Miami. How'd you like to be sitting next to that guy?
Oh.
Oh, hey, you dropped one of your...
Yeah! I think I'd rather eat at Chick-fil-A than a maggot-filled sandwich.
So he could show the news station the infested snack when he returned later that night. How do you keep the maggot, you know...
intact?
Right.
Put it in a Tupperware? What,
Don't they eventually hatch into flies?
And yes. I thought transvaginal bicurious airlines was terrifying. Hey, she didn't have maggots on her. What?
Your little plastic box is buzzing.
Because they turn into flies.
Is that your phone on vibrate? Oh, it's your maggot. Okay. Cafe Intermezzo initially did not meet with Woloshuk, telling him a manager was not available.
Huh.
And this is regarding... Oh, maggots in your sandwich. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yes. No one
maggots
is available
in your food?
Right now to discuss that with you.
Right.
Is this a pressing concern?
Yeah.
The restaurant's president responded to an inquiry from WSB, though. Yeah, they seem to get on the phone quicker when it's a TV station. I don't know why. And later released a statement saying the maggots could not have been generated on our premises.
No, of course not.
And were instead from a vendor that supplied bread to the cafe. Right.
Whatever.
It could be. It could happen.
Yeah.
We don't intentionally generate maggots on our premises, is what we're saying.
Right.
If they happen to be here...
Hey, don't look at me.
I don't know if that would be considered in the Bible verse that Reverend Wallace just quoted about, you know, strangers in a foreign land.
Eating maggots.
Right.
Yeah.
Blah. They weren't generated there. They were technically visitors. Oh, by the way, in a related story, which we already covered, Gawker just reminds us that it could be worse. Remember the fly that landed on the woman's ear and laid flesh-eating maggots in her head?
Sure, I remember that.
Doctors found a writhing mass of maggots.
Yes, I
remember
that.
Inside the head. Yeah. So it could have been worse. So that happened. All right. All right, I mentioned Russia is also disappointed with us. Obama disappointed in Russia? Yes.
Disappointed!
Oh, there's nothing hurts worse than when the Kremlin's disappointed in you.
Yeah, they're all butthurt.
The Kremlin said it is...
Disappointed!
The U.S. canceled bilateral talks in September after Russia granted asylum to Edward Snowden. Putin's foreign affairs advisor said the move showed the U.S. could not develop ties with Russia on an equal basis. Please join us in our homophobia. Why not? As we know, the president, the decision to cancel the summit comes one day after the president appeared on The Tonight Show, in which he condemned the newly enacted anti-gay law in Russia. I have no patience, he said, for countries that try to treat gays or lesbians or transgender persons in ways that intimidate them or are harmful to them. Thank you, Mr. President. Oh, I love this one. The Russian sports minister?
Yeah.
Tells reporters to calm down about the Olympics and the anti-gay law.
Just calm
down.
Stop
acting like such screaming.
Stop being so Nellies.
Like, stop being Nellies. Stop being little drama queens about our anti-gay law, you femmes. That's not exactly what he said.
No.
Russian sports minister Vitaly Mutko.
Mutko.
Told World Athletics Champions contenders to relax.
Just relax.
Simmer down.
Relax. Right. Simmer down.
Here's my Russian music about his country's anti-gay propaganda law and said their private lives were safe as long as you don't get all chatty out, as long as you keep your pie holes shut about it.
Don't do anything gay.
All your holes. Keep everything shut.
No Judy Garland.
We're safe during the Moscow event in August. I want to ask you to calm down, as in addition to this law, we have a constitution that guarantees all citizens a private life. It's not intended to deprive people of any religion, race, or sexual orientation, but to ban the promotion of non-traditional relations among the young generation. All the athletes
should probably
and,
ban wrestling then, because that's pretty gay.
Yeah. Right. Ice skating.
Men's gymnastics.
Rhythmic gymnastics. All the athletes in the organization should be relaxed. Oh, sure. I'm sure all the gay athletes will be really relaxed.
Oh, really relaxed, yeah.
Their rights will be protected, but of course you have to respect the laws of the country you're in.
Let me paint target on your back. No, be relaxed.
Will they ban ladies golf?
That would be funny if he said, don't be Nellies.
Yeah.
That's what he meant.
Don't be Nellies. Nellies.
All right. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1 to the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. John Fugelsang, my personal comedy Jesus, joins us on next hour for Fridays with Fugelsang. 1-800-STEP-1 to the phone number, toll-free from anywhere.
It's a very Jesus-y show today.
It's extra yes. Jesus-y. No extra charge.
No.
By the way, I'm getting more evidence that we are the biggest dummies in the world here in L.A.
Okay. Oh, God, this. Yes. This makes me want to punch L.A. in the face.
I know. Why are we hitting ourselves?
I know.
Why are we hitting ourselves?
God,
normally, I love L.A.
We deserve every stereotype about
yeah.
us.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
So, if you take the 10
no,
over by
wait,
the...
Listen
no.
to this story.
No, just listen to this. L.A. restaurant unveiled fancy water menu, offers a water water sommelier.
Yeah. Sommelier.
Mm. Oh, boy.
Wow.
Gawker breaks the story.
Mm, has a real watery sort of...
Oh, that has a nice nose on it.
Because
I am a dope.
Mm. Yes.
God.
Can I just say, I don't know if I'm cheap, I always just order the regular water. It's
yeah.
just ridiculous.
Tap is fine with me.
Unless your water system has been hacked.
What?
I was just reading about that, how they can...
Somebody's primed for the water menu.
How much did you pay for a glass of water that's not contaminated?
Somebody needs a water sommelier. This is really, you think this is a joke, and it is
it's
not.
It's not a joke.
Could I have some, I don't know, fancy
water,
music?
Water music?
Yeah, whatever.
Okay.
Fancy schmancy restaurant
England.
Located
there we go. Water music. Perfect.
Inside in Los Angeles County Museum is taking pretension as art to its illogical conclusion by introducing what it calls L.A.'s most extensive water menu.
Yeah, great.
Shafe in the chat room just said, that happened, and L.A. let it happen.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
Oh! 45 pages. The 45-page, 20-item water list at Ray's and Stark Bar.
Why do you need 45 pages for 20 items?
Consists of, well,
it's all the
I'll
descriptions.
Explain why. Yes, exactly.
Mm,
it consists
sort
of select H2O experiences from 10 different countries at costs ranging from $8 to $20 a bottle.
Wow.
To help you choose the water that's right for your discerning palate, the restaurant offers the services of its general manager, the world's foremost certified water sommelier.
Right. And there's a guy out back filling all the bottles with a,
with a hose. With a
hose.
With a garden hose laughing his ass off. What a bunch of idiots. It comes in booklet form, attributing an entire page for each varietal that is complete with tasting notes.
Varietal?
Mineral count, bottle price, and photos.
Photos?
The menu is organized by country.
Bottles. The bottles that they come in.
Organized by country, like
a
wine list.
Here's a picture of water.
Wow.
I'm not getting the Russian water just because I'm protesting.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Yet.
Pour
just saying
yet
to the Russian water.
Yeah, Russian water is vodka. Now that's worth $20.
This tastes homophobic. All right. Sue in Rockville, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Sue.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. Thank you. You too.
Welcome to the Californians.
Well,
I would like to now be the official researcher.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yes.
So I looked up some heights. This is two pieces I want to say very interesting. First of all, tall men always tell you how tall they are. Short men try to hide it and then lie.
Right.
So if you factor that all in, he is no taller than 5'8". His father's supposedly 5'11". If you see them side by side,
Ron
they're figuring
Paul is
that Ron
really?
Paul is not. He's 5'10", figure tops, which and Rand Paul's at least 2 or 3 inches shorter than him.
Wow.
Maybe it's just because his suits were so big that he looks so small.
Yes.
Ron Paul, that little tiny cartoon head.
But the other thing, so not only, and Marco Rubio says he's 5'10", which means he's no bigger than 5'9". So
right.
Figure, Rand Paul's 5'7", Marco Rubio's 5'9". The interesting thing in doing the research, though, is that if you Google women's heights, like Hillary Clinton's 5'7", Sarah Palin's 5'5", it comes out immediately. Tall men comes off immediately if you Google it. Short men, you got to really research and then do comparables to try to figure it out.
Well, and haven't they done studies, Sue? They actually have that a huge percentage of the time, the taller candidate always wins for the presidency, right?
Well, quoting a wit like Ann Coulter, I mean, she basically said, you know, Rand Paul and Marco Rubio have no chance to become president because they're just too darn short. And this may be the only time in my life I ever agree with Ann Coulter.
It could be. I'm just saying it could be extra landslidey if it's.
Of course,
yeah.
She's 8 feet tall, so.
I'll take a tall woman over a short man pretty much any time.
Yeah. He could carry less stakes than my dad in Goldwater because he's so short he can't. He's too small to carry that many.
And Steph, you would take a tall woman over a short man anytime, too, right?
Right. Whatever kind of woman. Okay.
Really? Whatever kind of woman?
Just,
really?
I'm just kidding. All right. I kid, of course. Okay. By the by, the president talking about terror.
As for these extremists, here's what those who would cowardly attack our civilians don't get. The United States is never going to retreat from the world. We don't get terrorized.
Oh, in a completely unrelated story, Jim, New York Times brings us the story. The NSA said to search content of messages.
Uh-huh.
What?
Yep.
What?
To and from the U.S. The NSA is searching, this is what the New York Times reporting this morning, is searching the contents of vast amounts of America's emails and text communications into and out of the country, hunting for people who mention information about foreigners under surveillance. While it has long been known that the agency conducts extensive computer searches of data it vacuums up overseas, that it's systematically searching without warrants through the contents of Americans' communications that cross the border reveals more about the scale of its secret operations. Mm-hmm. Government officials say the cross-border surveillance was authorized by a 2008 law, the FISA Amendments Act, in which Congress approved eavesdropping on domestic soil without warrants as long as the target was a non-citizen abroad. This sort of gets, can I just say this article went on and on, Chris, and it gets a little in the weeds for me.
Yeah, I know.
So what's,
I know.
Technically
I debate on whether
legal
to send it to you or not.
I know, and what's, I don't, I mean, that's what's hard, you know, and as we've said, Jim, it's not that I don't have concerns about it, it's just, I think that's why it's not
so
that understandable for the normal person to go, I don't know what degree they're doing what exactly, you know, I mean,
exactly, and that's what's so troubling about it, that they,
they're
just this broad, you know, dragnet.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what will make us feel better? Maggot fun facts
from
Bob in L.A. All Hi, right. Bob.
Hi there.
That would be a stretch to call any facts about maggots fun, but go ahead.
Well, the thing about maggots is they are very handy for eating dead flesh.
Right.
You have
a
piece of flesh that's dead on your body that's rotting. Doctors, American doctors even, put maggots on them because all that maggots want to eat is dead flesh.
Right.
They will leave
the
good flesh alone.
And then if you need to lose weight, that you would probably do that as well, because maggots eat your dead flesh would probably be...
That's fat.
Right.
They won't eat fat. They'll only eat dead flesh.
Right, but
like
what I'm saying is you
maggot.
Would probably stop eating because you'd be so grossed out by the maggot on you eating dead flesh.
No, yeah, they actually save lives.
Mm-hmm.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that is a fun fact. That is a fun... Pardon me, Jim?
It was in Gladiator.
Remember
when he did his, yeah. They put maggots on his skin to keep the necrotic flesh away.
Right.
To keep them from getting gangrene.
Still disgusting. All right. Are we
Not
still using those in
gangrene.
Our healthcare system? All right. Hey, guess what's back, everybody? The healthcare town halls. The screamy, shouty ones.
Yeah, but this time it's Republicans that are getting teabagged by teabaggers. It's not Democrats.
It really is. It is the Herp Derp caucus at this point. Like this guy, Representative Robert. We talked about this yesterday. Representative Robert Pittenger.
Yeah.
He's a Republican in North Carolina. It seems like any kind of whiff of reasonableness.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, defunding Obamacare or shutting down the government will not defund Obamacare.
Right.
A.
Right.
And B. Polls are showing it would be a complete political disaster for Republicans.
Yeah. Because as soon as members of the military don't get their first paycheck, we're going to be hearing about it.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So here he is at a town hall in North Carolina.
Will you vote with Mike Lee and Meadows here to defund Obamacare? Yes or no?
Yeah!
I want yes or no.
No.
Do you want a thoughtful answer? I want yes or no. Yes, I get the answer.
No,
right.
No thoughtfuls. No thoughtful.
No thinking.
Just go.
Oh my
don't
God.
Think.
That literally, that sums up the Republican Party today. Do you want a thoughtful answer?
No!
I only want yes or no. Oh, wow. Okay. So he probably, and I think he did actually go on to try to explain that shutting down the government will not defund Obamacare, A. All right. Representative Tom Cole, a Republican of Oklahoma at a town hall.
You need to represent us, and we're tired of having to come down on us again and again.
First of all,
Do I want to defund Obamacare? Absolutely. I voted against it. I voted 40 times to repeal it. Now, the question is, do you want to shut down the government if you think that will achieve it?
Well, that almost made sense.
Right, that's the problem.
Right.
Any whiff of reasonableness is just not playing in the...
Yeah, there was a town hall in Maryland yesterday where Tea Partiers actually said, listen, we're dying out here because you guys are being nice guys.
Huh?
What?
We're dying because we...
have Obamacare.
We now have access to affordable health care.
Yes, it's killing us.
Right. Affordable health care is killing us. Stop it.
They said, we're losing the country. I want to see more defiance.
Great. All right. Well.
I want to see more.
Thank you, Jim. Yes. All right. We have more. We have more crunchy audio town hall goodness.
Of course we do.
It just gets worse. 17 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ooh, what a lovely program.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Hey, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 21 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Christopher in New Jersey. Hello, Christopher.
How you doing?
Good.
I just got a call. I got a question about Obamacare.
Okay.
I am working part-time, so is my friend. We're working the same company, but I'm not union, and he's in union. And they're not giving me over 29 hours. But he's getting like 30-something hours a week. And they're saying I can't get over 29 hours or they get fined for Obamacare.
Wait, slow down. Say that one more time.
Hold on. I'm working 29 hours a week.
Right.
And they're not giving me over 29 hours. They said they're going to get fined the $3,000 for Obamacare. And my friend's working 30-something hours a week and they're giving it to him. They said because he's in the union, he could get that 30-something hours.
Right.
I'm confused about the whole Obamacare. And
well, that's why unions are good generally for getting you benefits.
So since I'm not in union, I cannot get that Obamacare. I'm just stuck at 29 hours.
Well, I mean, that has to do with your employer,
right.
You know, being kind of a douche, frankly, because that's,
yes,
you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, that's not to do with necessarily with unions. It's that, you know, some employers, look, if you want to get and retain good employees, you should want to do the right thing by them. And it's, you know, anyway, that's the problem. Like Jackie talks about this a lot, is blaming Obamacare for stuff that is, you know, employers either being
right.
douchey
mm-hmm.
or insurance companies being
mm-hmm.
douchey. For lack of a better word, that's
absolutely.
A medical. It's a medical term.
Sure, yes.
Which is why we need single payer.
Thank you. All right, back to the town of the shouty town halls.
Yes.
The healthcare town halls are back.
Oh boy.
Representative Tom Call, Republican of Oklahoma.
Let me talk to you a little bit about the consequences of what a complete government shutdown is. Number one, that means your troops in the field don't get paid. Military's not exempt. I'm sorry. Just because you shut down the government doesn't mean the other side has to give in. Doesn't mean that the Senate has to pass the legislation. But I don't want to be, disingenuous and tell you that I think shutting down the government's a good idea, because I don't. And I'd be being dishonest with you if I told you I thought, it would work.
I just got an IM from Jackie Schechner. Nurse
Jackie, hello, Jackie.
About that previous caller. She says, tell the caller he will be able to go out on in the exchange and buy insurance on his own if his employer doesn't offer an affordable option.
Thank you, Nurse Jackie. Thank you. Good point.
Very good point.
By the way,
it's called competition between private companies,
right.
You see.
Did you hear that, the comments in the middle of what Tom Cole was just saying? Because you speak Teabagger Town Hall. It's pretty much always just some version of,
dare!
Grr! It's some sort of... Let's hear that again. Okay, here he is, Representative Tom Cole.
Let me talk to you a little bit about the consequences of what a complete government shutdown is. Number one, that means your troops in the field don't get paid. Military's not exempt. I'm
bad. See, I think they didn't get that. What were they booing exactly? They were booing... That would be bad.
Well,
but he was trying to explain that's what a government
shutdown would do.
He
wasn't suggesting it was a good idea.
They hit the Skeeter troop button.
Ah! It's the tyranny.
Troop, good.
Fire Spartan troops.
Everybody's been playing again the gay soldier from the town hall.
Yeah.
That's a perfect example. He just was so unbelievable. He's talking about he's an active duty soldier actively getting shot at for his country. And he said gay, and the Republicans in the town hall were,
"Boo! Yeah! Boo gay bad!"
Yeah, they were ready to applaud him and say,
right.
Thank you for his service. You're what?
True.
Ah!
Yeah, exactly. They were like, true, good,
okay,
jumbo shrimp in their head. Yeah. Gay, true,
God.
No candy, no
candy.
Mongo no lie.
Mongo no lie, Hulk smash.
They're just a bunch of troglodytes.
What mean troglodyte?
Who don't know what the word troglodyte means.
Yeah. What mean troglodyte? How spell troglodyte?
Is that a troll made of chocolate?
What?
I don't know. Huh? All right, Representative Aaron Schock.
That's someone who really likes the trogs.
Yes, that's it.
Wild
exactly.
Thing.
Right, really likes wild thing.
Sing.
Representative Aaron Schock, Republican of Illinois.
He of the gorgeous abs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
If the budget went away tomorrow, if the government shut down tomorrow, it would not necessarily stop the Affordable Care Act from being implemented.
What?
How many weeks would you go without paying Social Security? And how many weeks would you go without paying the troops? And having a young lady walk into my office whose husband's over in Afghanistan, who can't pay her mortgage because I'm shutting the government down, because I don't like a health care law, I've got to be betting on the fact that the president's going to cry uncle and capitulate and repeal his own bill. You've got to make sure you're willing to kill the hostage you got. And I am not convinced yet that that's a hostage that we should take headed into this fight.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, when Aaron Schock starts to make sense.
Yeah, he got in on the Tea Party wave, and then he got to D.C. and, like, crashed right into reality. It's like,
hey,
okay.
I realize I'm representing a bunch of skeeters.
Yeah.
Please help a skeeter.
Benghazi.
We all live our lives and take our ability to understand reality
for granted. There he is, backing up to Oprah.
Meet Skeeter.
He's a liar in chief.
While the rest of us are told not to text and drive, Skeeter struggles with basic motor skills.
You know who else had background checks?
Skeeter has
Hitler.
Obama derangement syndrome.
I have to play that beat up on Hillary thing.
Many people thought a cure was near in 2012.
I'll be over here standing my ground.
But the Skeeters of the world remind us we have so far to go.
Teachers should have 50 caliber machine guns.
Do your part now by texting "read a friggin' book" to any Yahoo News comment.
Stephanie Miller's a race trainer.
Together, we can help the Skeeters of the world find their way out of their bubble.
Gravity's a hoax.
And into our solar system.
Al Jazeera has a big house.
Help save a Skeeter from hurting himself.
Thank you, Skeeter, for updating. Al Gore has a big house. Yeah. Al Jazeera has a big
house.
InsideJokes.com.
Yay.
Okay. Both are true, though.
That is true.
Okay, Alan in Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Alan.
I was just kind of looking around and I found your station.
Uh-oh. Okay.
Uh-oh. About however many years ago you came to XM Radio.
Right.
And you and your panel of Chris and Jim.
Your panel?
Hey, I just wanted to let you know.
No panel.
That I'm a Republican.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And the reason I'm a Republican is so that this douchebag, can we say that?
Sure.
We do it all the time.
You just did.
Well, Governor won't kick me off the voting rolls. Anyways, the reason I am calling you, I'm 63. I'm nervous a little bit.
That's right.
I'm 63, and I was just diagnosed with tonsil cancer, and some of my nodes in there are giving me a problem.
Mm.
And because I have the security of Obamacare, my wife and I will not lose our house.
Yep.
Wow.
And
Alan, hang on. I want to hear a little more about that. All right, 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller,
America's latest teller of truth with a book deal on its side.
Yep, that's me. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. We were talking to Alan in Florida before the break. Alan, are you still a Republican?
Well, On paper.
On paper, you are. Okay. But you were telling us that Obamacare is actually, you were just diagnosed with cancer. I'm really sorry to hear.
And luckily, I'm kind of a baby, so I think I caught it early.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I'll be going in for surgery in a week or so.
Aww.
But my wife and I were thinking, it's like, without Obamacare, at our age, we would have lost our house paying for this, and I would have died, died.
Yep. Well, I mean, you know, that's what we have to hope, Alan, is that, you know, the more and more people start to see this, you know, the political rhetoric and the fear-mongering will die down, right?
And listening to these people in these town meetings, it's like they don't sound like they're the most intelligent people. They sound like regular Americans, you know, who got normal educations and work hard, and they don't understand that Obamacare will save their lives.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing is, you know, when you have people screaming, "Keep your government hands off my Medicare," they've ceased to understand.
Yeah.
You know, how the, you know, our government works.
But, death panels.
Yeah, exactly. Alan, thanks for your story. I appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Okay.
All right, best of luck. Our thoughts and prayers are with you in your surgery, okay?
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Yeah, that's that right there is what Republicans are most afraid of.
Mm-hmm.
Joe in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Joe.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, go ahead.
Good. Just real quick points. I'll hang up and let you guys go. The caller who called in about the working part-time over in New Jersey, this is nothing new. I've been selling private health insurance for 15 years. Companies have been doing this for forever. I mean, at least
30% trying to keep you at a certain amount of hours so they don't have to give you health care. Yeah.
Right. This is not started under Obamacare. You know, 30% of my clients are people who work, you know, 24 hours. Every state has their, you know, has regulations. If you work over 25, then you're considered full-time. If you work under 29, every state's different. But so many companies have always been doing this. It's nothing new. And then the, I was listening to this guy on the Daily Kos, McHenry, I think he's over in North Carolina. And he was getting ripped apart during his town hall meeting, and you know, his replace argument was repeal and replace with what is the Republican argument is, right, let's be able to buy insurance through state lines. Well, that's a great idea. My only question there is, if I live in Illinois and I buy insurance from Plan B, who regulates it? The federal government.
Right.
Which is something Republicans don't usually like. It's out of the state's hands. If I live in Illinois and I have a problem with my insurance from Plan B, from State B, Illinois is not going to help me, and State B is not going to help me.
Yep.
The only one who can regulate it is the federal government. And it's just amazing. I was talking to a big-time Republican friend of mine over in Wisconsin, and I kept asking, what is it against Obamacare that you guys hate? He said, we've staked our reputations against it. And if he said, you know, we're not concerned that, you know, the country's going to hate it. We're concerned the country's going to love it. He said, we know it's a great plan. It's our plan. We know it's going to work.
Oy. Well, there's an honest Republican.
He said after 3 years of this thing being in place and people realize that, you know, hey, you know, premiums are down, coverage is up, people are going to love it, and they're going to realize we've been selling them a bill of goods for years. He said, we know it's going to work. It's our plan. We designed it. It's going to work.
Was he drunk at the time that he admitted this? Or because
he's a real good friend. He's a family friend of mine. He's worked for the Republican Party in Wisconsin for about the last 10, 15 years or so. I was just asking, I said, you know, 40 times you guys have repealed this thing. What is it with Obamacare? I mean, you guys are willing to shut down the government, but Obamacare, you can't let that. I mean, if you're a Republican and you think Obamacare is going to fail, you'd be thrilled to let this thing go into effect. Let it fail and then say, hey, look, see, we told you so.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What is it about Obamacare that you guys simply can't even look
exactly right.
It'll work, damn it.
Before.
Well, I told you, we just talked about yesterday, Joe, that John Boehner actually just tweeted about, Ohioans, you know, health premiums are going to go up 41% over Obamacare. And in his tweet, there's a link to an article saying just the opposite.
And down.
This is the leader of House Republicans.
Yep.
I mean,
yep. No, it was amazing. He was, I mean, you know, once people realize that, you know, the lies, there's no death panels, you know, all this other garbage that they've been selling the world for the last, you know, for the last 3 years, once people realize that, you know, it's all a bunch of, you know, bull, people are gonna like it, and it's gonna kill the Republicans, so they're not gonna have anything to stand
right
on at that point.
Joe, that last caller,
they love it.
Right, that last caller we had says it all. I'm a Republican, I've always been a Republican.
Yeah.
Obamacare just literally saved my life. My wife and I would have lost our house if this had happened before. I mean, that's what they are most terrified of. There it was.
Yeah.
All right.
Also, Jackie just IM'd me and says we don't want to buy insurance across state lines because that means insurers could take advantage of loose regulation states.
Right.
Which makes total sense.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. I knew there was a reason it was stuck in my brain somewhere.
That's why.
Right.
Yeah.
But she says it there and it comes out here.
It comes out here.
Right. I'm the dopey news anchor in broadcast news. All right. The other thing they're most terrified of course, is Hillary Clinton movies.
Of course.
Well, I'd put the Hillary movie against the Ted Cruz movie anytime, I think.
Please, please do movies on your Republican candidates. Please
Ted
do
Cruz
a rant.
Ted Cruz was born in Canada.
Yeah, and then just the end.
That kind of means he can't be president.
Okay.
But he's from the American-y part of Canada.
Who, if they do a Rand Paul movie, who would play him? As we were saying, who's
Billy
Vern,
Barty? No,
Vern
he's
Troyer?
Not around
no,
anymore.
Billy Barty's gone.
Billy, yeah. Vern Troyer still around.
Vern Troyer.
Vern Troyer's about it.
That's a short
Peter
list.
Peter Dinklage.
Who?
Peter Dinklage.
Oh,
Peter
okay.
Dinklage.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Chuck Todd on MSNBC.
This is why this miniseries is a total nightmare for NBC News.
Oh.
People are going to see the Peacock, and they see NBC, and they see NBC News, and they think, well, they can't be that separate.
Oh, for God's sakes. People are not that dopey, Chuck Todd. Really?
They are.
Oh, please.
They are.
And honestly, as everyone knows in the
it's
world,
the
there are a lot, there are a lot of warts on the whole Clinton story. Why do they just assume... Oh, this is going to be, you know.
Oh, I think it's a bad idea all around for both sides.
I don't. Senator Rand Paul.
The question is, are you going to get a fair shake? And I think it's a reasonable question for Republicans to ask.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, listen, I am on record as saying, let's go. Bring it with the Rand Paul movies. Rand Paul miniseries.
Rand
just
Paul
on his
cartoon.
Hair alone, right?
Like, how did he grow that hair?
Right.
In
game show?
Tube.
What the hell is on? What the hell is on Rand Paul's head?
It's his hair is made of test tube meat.
You think so?
Yeah.
I think it is. It's not been perfected yet.
It's not suitable for human consumption yet.
Yeah, no.
As a hairpiece, yeah.
Yeah, they gotta, right. It's not edible yet.
Right.
But they're working on it.
It's hair burger.
It's still tall. Really? Really?
All right. Is it a burger or a hairpiece? Who can tell?
And it tastes like ground up octopus.
Right.
Yeah.
James in Arizona, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, James.
Hello. Hi, Steph.
Hi.
I love your show.
Oh, thank you.
And I'm a black conservative,
mm-hmm.
and it goes like this.
Wow.
Good
morning, Larry Elder.
Hey, I love Larry also.
Who doesn't?
Los Angeles.
All right, go ahead. I said, who doesn't? Go ahead.
Okay. Howard Dean said about a month ago that what will happen is these panels, the so-called death panels, will lower the cost of reimbursement. And when you lower the cost of reimbursement, doctors will quit performing those procedures. Thus, people will get sicker and everything. And I know he said it because I heard it in his voice.
You heard it in his voice.
So
I mean, I heard his voice.
Oh.
Say it. I thought... And Dr. Dean said it, and he's a Democrat and not a Republican.
Yes, I doubt that's what he said, but I'm sure Jackie can.
Oh, but check it out.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Okay.
All right, we're convinced. Right. Death panels are real.
Yes,
all right.
I guess so.
Give up now.
I guess so, because
everyone
Howard Dean
home.
Said it, so that must be true. All right, then. Hey, speaking of health care, the president called George W. to wish him well after his heart
Good. Stint
procedure. Right. He called George Bush to wish him well as he recovers from his heart procedure to ease a blocked artery. The two spoke on Wednesday.
Yeah. Good.
No, it was not a prank call.
No.
It was nothing.
No.
Right.
It was heartfelt.
Exactly. Kevin in D.C., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Kev.
Good morning, lovely Stephanie. I was away from the TV for a moment, and then I was told that someone who shares my heritage was talking about certain things, and I don't know what to say. I just made me laugh like Hillary Clinton. I literally did the laugh.
Yes.
But
yes.
I don't know what, for the first time I think in my nearly a decade with you guys, I'm speechless.
You're saying that guy was a turkey?
Yes. Okay. If I can get my thoughts together.
Huh?
It's actually, selfishly, it's a good thing, not only conservatives of any color, because you played those clips of people at the town halls and that the Tea Party monsters come back to bite these people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If they've got to be worried about being teabagged at every little thing, and they elect people to represent them, like the ones who've been defeated, like the Christine person, the witch, I'm not a witch, and people like that.
O'Donnell, right.
Right, and they're obviously, not going to win a general election. So is that a good thing, is to have the psychos get elected, have the ones that, are insane like this, and then they'll lose the general election, and we can finally get things done. I don't know when it would have happened. I'm sorry that we let these psychos in 2010, but maybe this is a good thing that eventually, they'll only be able to elect.
Well, see, that's like the difference. It's like, I suppose we should root for what's bad for the Republican Party, but unfortunately, it would also be bad for America to shut the government down. I mean, it would be a complete disaster for them, but, meanwhile, that's the difference. We're not willing to burn the village to save it.
Nope.
Mason in Ohio, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mason.
Good morning, sunshine.
Good
How are you today?
Morning, moonshine.
I know. It's a Friday. Woot, woot.
Woot.
I called to say a couple things, and I want to start off by saying I am in Ohio, and unfortunately I have just a slew of crazies that represent me right now.
Right.
Yeah. And Boner being one of them.
Yep.
And he is dead wrong. I mean, as soon as Obamacare kicked in this year, I went from $150 worth of med costs a month to zero. Also,
wow.
All my girly doctors are taken care of at zero cost.
Wow.
Which helps me out a lot because right now, I worked for an international company for 11 years and had really good benefits at the time. Unfortunately, I had a major back injury that put me out of work. And it was an utter nightmare because the medical bills are just pushing us to bankruptcy. So it really kills me that people all across this nation are having to go into bankruptcy because they can't afford to be healthy and live because they need doctor's appointments. A great example is my brother-in-law, who's diabetic and is out of work because he got laid off due to the work nonsense happening. And he got a cut on his foot.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't able to go to the doctor to get it taken care of. He used Peroxide and tried to keep it clean. 2 months later, it got infected. He lost two of his toes and half of his foot.
Wow. Oh, my God.
And will never be able to walk the same again because of it. And my best friend's little girl suffers from asthma, and she struggles to pay $250 for one inhaler a month.
Wow.
Yeah.
And sometimes he has to wait to even get that. And, the kicker of it all is that if Republicans were smart, which no one has ever claimed they're smart in these days, but if they were, they would embrace Obamacare and try to work towards fixing what's broken so that they can prove to the American people that they really are on their side, because right now they have done nothing to show the American people that they're on their side, especially trying to
repeal
something.
And by the way, the president welcomed them to do that. Mm-hmm. He acknowledged this was based on Romney's plan in Massachusetts, Republican.
If you want, you can call it Romneycare or Dolecare.
Right, exactly.
Heritage care. Yeah.
All right. 48 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
The more you hear it, the funnier it gets.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Baby, come and get it. Baby, come and get it. You always get the best I got. 52 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2. The phone number, toll free from anywhere.
Let me call my wife and see if she's okay with that.
Okay, all right.
Baby, come
all
and
right.
get it?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's hot.
I'm thinking no.
Okay. I mentioned earlier the turtle trouble, Jim. We got turtle trouble in Kentucky.
Turtle trouble.
Mitch McConnell's campaign manager was caught on tape saying he's holding his nose for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Working for, because it's all for Rand. It's all for you, Rand.
It's all for you, Damien.
The political ads and videos in Kentucky make it seem like Mitch McConnell has three opponents. He's currently being teabagged,
as
we know, by Matt Bevin. He has a Democratic opponent who is awesome, who's ahead by 1 point.
Yes, indeed.
In the latest poll, and Obama.
I think I'm going to teabag myself.
The teabagger is the one that told him to be a man, ironically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Matt Bevin said that. Now he's a turtle man.
The doctors told Senator McConnell that he had a kidney stone. He refused to pass it.
It is beneath the dignity of the office he holds. And I'm asking him to be a man, run on his record.
What makes a man is not the power in his hands. Isn't his quest for glory.
What the American people need right now isn't a lecture on fairness.
So we can know your story. Now you're a man.
Turtle.
Man, now you're a man.
Turtle. Turtle. Americans want 3.4 million to build a 13-foot-long turtle tunnel.
Our top political priority over the next 2 years should be to deny President Obama a second term. And so for those of us who spend a lot of time on this issue, it's our obligation to fight this fight.
How could I be a squish when I have a shell?
Listener Adam in Illinois, thank you, sir.
Yep.
Speaking of awesome,
tizzle sang,
look who's
tizzle
here
sang,
early.
What?
What?
Tizzle sang,
yeah, I'm early. I'm sorry. This never happens.
He's so fun. I'm sure it doesn't.
I'll be fine in about 10 minutes.
I just watched a clip of you hosting the Magical Viewpoint on the Current Television Network. And confirmed that you are smart and handsome and romantic and startlingly beautiful, really.
Oh, my. Well, thank you. I steal most of my lines from my old blue-collar comedy tour tapes, so I don't know which clip you saw. What was it?
It was you interviewing our friend Hot Bree, Melissa Fitzgerald.
Oh, yeah.
Last week.
She was great. She came on, and we did a one-on-one. We did a panel. We had her on two shows. She was dynamite.
Fabulous. You are, once again, startlingly beautiful.
Well, we're a booking machine. We had Spike Lee on last night and Reza Aslan. We had Dick Cavett on the other night. Mario Cuomo joins us next week, and a few big surprises for the final week of shows, including our other friend Shelley Wright will be with us.
Wow. Fabulous! Hooray! Yeah. Hooray! What was it going to say? So when you heard that, right? You saw the caught on tape guy, Mitch McConnell's.
Oh yeah. It's all for Rand.
It's all for you, Rand. I think you're the first one that made the Damien reference on the show. that was Ron Paul saying it's all for you, Rand.
Well, like I said before, the douche doesn't fall far from the bag.
There you go.
It's going to be really amazing seeing all the Newt Gingrich hitching his wagon to Rand Paul. I mean, most normal people aren't nerds like us. They're not paying attention to this stuff yet. So Rand Paul is in a really, really comfy bubble. And it's going to only get uglier as people learn more and more about him. I can't wait. It's going to be like the clown car, but with degrees.
The favorite thing we learned this week is from our friend Kathleen Madigan, who met him. And she said he's about as tall as she is. She's about 5'2" in heels or something. So we were saying we would love for there to be Rand movies because they're all upset about the Hillary movie. But we don't know who except Vern Troyer would be available.
Someone said,
caller Susan says Andy Dick, who I think is too tall but does have the hair.
He has the right hair, though. That's the thing. I want to see a Rand Paul movie. I want to see the first time young Rand practices eye surgery without a license. I can't wait.
With a rusty spoon.
Rusty spoon, yes.
Yeah, I can't wait to see Rand explain to Rachel Maddow again why the Civil Rights Act of 1964 was flawed and then go to an all-black college and say why he loves it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, that's what we were talking about. Well, we were laughing earlier because apparently we were offered Ron Paul, and we said yes, we called their bluff. And then we got a very terse note saying he will not be appearing on your program.
Ron Paul's been on your show before.
Yes, he has.
And it's been lovely.
I don't know what could have gone wrong.
Wow, I'd love to interview Ron Paul. My goodness.
Yes. As Charlie Pierce calls him, crazy Captain Liberty. I don't know.
You know what? Even a broken watch is right half the time, right twice a day. But it's not insane the rest of the day, and that's why I find the Paul family. Because I'll give Rand Paul a lot of credit on a lot of things he's been right about. He's been more liberal than the Democrats on a lot of issues, but when he's wrong, he's got Zilla wrong, the remake with Matthew Broderick. That's yeah. wrong.
Right. Perhaps Daddy was afraid I would bring up the, you know, racist newsletters or things mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah, the racist newsletters that Dad didn't write. He just signed his name to them, okay, haters? Right. That's all he did. He just right. published them and signed his name to the racist.
How was he supposed to know what was in the Ron Paul newsletter?
We're the party of personal responsibility. We don't know these things. Come on, we're too busy being responsible.
By
and you know, the other thing about Rand Paul that's going to be really interesting is, and I haven't had it confirmed, but I've heard from multiple sources that he was at an event with a bunch of evangelical leaders where he assured them he didn't ever want to make cannabis legal. And that's interesting, because that's going to lose him the Gary Johnston Libertarians.
Yep.
All right, right back. More Fridays with Eaglesang on the Stephanie Miller Show. The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Happy Friday, everybody. Indeed, you know what that means.
I'm going to come early just to get all my theme songs in one show.
Yeah.
You've been double jingled. Good morning, John Fuglesang.
Good morning, children. Great to be with you on our final Current Friday, I think.
Yeah.
I know, by the way, this is good news for us after Current goes, well, next Thursday's all of our last day on Current.
Yeah.
Yes.
Virgin Airways to feature live stand-up acts on certain flights.
I know.
There you go. There's our next job.
For that gig, yeah.
There you go. Virgin Atlantic announced yesterday it will start offering live stand-up acts on certain little red flights from Heathrow to Manchester and Edinburgh later this month.
Be sure to tip your pilot. Try the peanuts.
Acts set to participate in the Mile High Comedy Club will be revealed on Twitter and Facebook shortly before each flight, meaning passengers won't know if they've been chosen to participate in this stress test until they're just about to board.
Will it be Russell Brand?
I hope not.
Because he's so hilarious.
I'm like, I'll take the layover. I'm not getting on the Russell Brand flight. John Pugh was saying our next Sexy Liberal, we could actually do the act on the plane to the show.
We could do that, yes. Right. We've had dressing rooms of that size where we've run it, so we could do that.
Ah.
And that'd be great. I just want to keep my headphones. Otherwise, it'll be terrific. I don't know. Some people might be running for the airlock, but...
All right. Let's go to Dana in Maryland. You're on with John. Hello, Dana.
Hi, good morning, everybody.
Good morning. Extra scratchy voice.
I have walking pneumonia, so I'm not trying to flirt.
Oh God.
That's what you say.
I know, I'm lying through my teeth. So I just wanted to say about Rand Paul, you know, if you're going to get testy during interviews, don't hang out with people who wear, you know, Spider-Man costumes with Confederate flags. You know, if you're going to get all testy and upset and people think you're a racist because you are, you know, this is who you associate with. This is who your father associated with. I mean,
who was that guy? The Southern Avenger.
Yeah, Captain right. somebody. What the heck was his name? You know, but he's getting testy in these interviews and he's swearing in the interviews. And I always thought they had to be sort of humble and, you know, friendly.
Right.
Southern Avenger.
There he is. Oh, by the way, this just in. Ed from Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, John, reminds us, Steph, those are maggots on top of Rand Paul's head. They're trying to get at the dead matter inside. We had a maggot theme earlier in the show, John.
Yeah. That's very insulting to that poor Ewok that died there. and it's actually, I call him Captain Treason and his trusty sidekick, John Wilkes Booth.
John in Indiana, you're on with John. Hello, John.
Oh, good morning, Stephanie. How are we doing this morning?
Good morning. Go ahead.
Very good. You'll have to forgive me. I'm a 23-year-old who's just kind of starting to become politically conscious and socially aware, so you'll have to forgive me if I mince my words.
That's all right.
Regardless, I wanted to respond to the conservative who made the remarks about Howard Dean as far as healthcare in this country. You know, I am the son of two healthcare professionals, one of them being a physician, and we currently live in a system where there are plenty of individuals, unfortunately, who, you know, belong to the low-income or no-income demographic who are receiving surgeries. And, of course, since they, you know, don't have any money to pay, I mean, I guess physicians really aren't receiving compensation that they may or may not be due.
Mm.
So if we, you know, expand health care to cover more individuals, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but doesn't it seem that, you know, physicians would be more likely to receive their dues?
Maybe I'm missing your point. Say that one more time.
Sure, no. You know, currently there are individuals who are not covered by insurance. You know, low income, no income. They're receiving surgeries, most likely life saving. And of course, they have no money to pay physicians. So physicians really aren't receiving, you know, the money that is due to them for performing their work, right?
Are you talking about people that go to, an emergency room and don't have health care?
Yes.
Right. Okay, so what's your point?
Well, I mean, if we expand the insurance pool, you know, of course, under Obamacare, physicians would be, more duly compensated. And his point, if I understand it correctly, is that under Obamacare, physicians, won't be compensated and might stop performing services.
Because they're not going to get paid for their work?
Right. That was his point.
Who's Howard Dean's point?
The gentleman.
The guy that called. Hopefully Jackie will call in. We've got, this is from Mother Jones, John. This is what the caller was talking about. In 2009, Sarah Palin, blah, 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 death panels, blah, blah, blah. Bands of bureaucrats who would decide whether old and disabled Americans were worthy of medical care. The notion turned out to be a figment of her imagination, but now a growing cohort of Democratic lawmakers is cozying up to the idea, charging the cost-cutting board that Obama's health care law creates will indeed hurt people on Medicare. But we were saying, John, before the break, these are conservadems that are, the lawmakers have said they oppose the board because it would limit care for Medicare patients, even though the health care law says that any cuts would have to affect doctor reimbursement rates or the prices for certain drugs, not patient care.
It's eerily reminiscent of like John Boehner saying that, if your insurance premiums go up under Obamacare, be sure to blame Obama and not your insurance company.
Yeah, exactly. Well, what people are referring to, Howard Dean wrote a piece in the Wall Street Journal. He called for repeal of the cost-cutting board because he wrote it would have the effect of rationing care by making it harder for doctors to make money from Medicare. It should be pointed out here that Dean has worked as an advisor to a major D.C. lobbying firm that does work on behalf of the healthcare industry, which would see profits cut if the board goes into effect.
I got a lot of love for Howard Dean, but if he's thinking about running for president as the progressive alternative to Hillary Clinton, he's got to find another way to do it.
Yeah, exactly. Jackie Schaffner, Nurse Jackie, joins us now.
Oh, good morning.
Hello.
Sounds like your dander is up.
Well, I'm frustrated because this is such a thing that it's like a short-sightedness that we have sometimes, and I actually just sent a note off to my old campaign manager and said, what is Dean doing here? Like, I get it. There are parts of the Affordable Care Act that we don't like, and there's parts of the law that definitely need to be adjusted over time. But coming out right now and slamming part of the Affordable Care Act that allows Republicans to then glom onto it is such a bad strategy.
Yeah.
Like, I understand what he's saying. I mean, I understand that, yes, that he does do some lobbying, and so that probably plays into this too. But Dean has a long history of being a good progressive, and I just don't understand what the point is right now of being like, yeah, there's some great stuff, but by the way, let me give you a half of an op-ed for Republicans to run with. I just don't understand the point.
And the fact that Howard Dean is a physician, also makes it curious. Is he just about looking out for his own in a time when we're supposed to be looking out for the Americans who are uninsured? I mean, he brought a closer form of single payer to Vermont, but he's not advocating that now.
No, I mean, in this op-ed in the Wall Street Journal, he talks about how regulating payment methods didn't work in Vermont. And I understand what he's saying. There are other ways to cost control. Like, this is probably not the best way to cost control is what he's saying. But he's not saying it in a way that helps the cause.
Right, yeah.
And what he needs to do is say, here, this is why we need a public option, or here are other more effective ways of bringing down costs. And that's not what he's doing.
You're exactly right, Jackie. If he said that, I would say, okay, so you're mounting the credible progressive opposition to Hillary's campaign. That's what you're saying this for? But I'm impressed that we've gone this whole time without making any scream jokes, and I'm proud of us as a
there you go. There you go.
Nurse slipped in the back door with that one, though.
Nurse Jackie is just saying she is.
Disappointed!
Okay.
And I also will say the Mother Jones article does point out that the law does not allow for a cut to patient care.
Right.
So
this is a case of Democrats and Republicans not reading the law.
Right.
Because the law actually says you cannot cut patient care, that you have to actually cut profit or payment before you cut. You can't cut patient care. The law doesn't allow
that. That's what Dr. Dean's talking about.
Well, I think our caller was saying that then doctors would refuse to do those procedures if they aren't getting enough of a reimbursement.
It's going to be harder for doctors to get rich off of your disease.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, the argument used, because I used to come at this like, you know, I understand doctors don't want to make less money, but it's really hard to argue, you know, when a doctor makes, let's say, $600,000 a year, that you're going to cut down to $400,000 a year, and somehow that's unfair, given the alternative is somebody dying. I mean,
my yacht needs new skylights, Jackie.
Your car elevator only holds three cars, not four.
You know how a doctor makes less money? When his patient pool dies off because they didn't get care.
Yeah,
there you
that's
go.
That's true, too. And I will reiterate that a lot of doctors that I speak to like Medicare because it actually pays, as opposed to private insurance companies, which end up forcing you to spend more time on paperwork and bureaucracy, and then eventually decide they're not going to pay you.
Yep. Hang on one second here. I'm going to put you, I'm going to lock you down. See, I did that right. Steve in Delaware, you're on with Jackie. Go ahead. Hello, Steve.
Hey, Stephanie. My wife works at a nursing home, and she basically does the books for her section. I can explain to you what they're already doing. This might not have anything to do with the panels, but they're reducing reimbursements for practitioners in nursing homes. These aren't necessarily MDs, but they're like physical therapists and their assistants and that type of work. And then they're using that to pay for for-profit health insurance. That's what's crazy. And because, you know, they're already losing employees because they're a smaller outfit and they can't afford, you know, to make up the overhead elsewhere, you know, to some of the bigger places. But that is already happening, just in reductions that came through Medicare administration or whatever you want to call it. So it's, you know, this whole for-profit health insurance thing is bad.
Yeah.
And then we have to subsidize it on the backs of the people who actually work in the profession. We're not talking about rich doctors.
Healthcare workers. Yeah, Jackie, he raises a good point, huh?
Yeah, I mean, that's what you guys mentioned a little bit earlier that I say all the time, is blame the people who are responsible. Blame the bad employers who don't want to offer health insurance. Blame the insurance companies who are jacking up rates so they can make a bigger profit margin and buy back their own stock. I mean, let's blame the people who are responsible for these things, the hospitals who are charging you $100 for a Band-Aid. I mean, really put the responsibility where it lies and stop trying to find a scapegoat in the president or congressional Democrats who are just trying to get you access to affordable health care.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Let's take one more. Baron in Michigan, real quick. You're on with Jackie. Hi, Baron.
Hi, Steph. I just wanted to correct the guy who called the last hour and heard Howard Dean in his own voice say that he didn't like Obamacare. Howard Dean has an issue with one provision, which can be changed. He's supporting Obamacare. The opponents of Obamacare are terrified that it'll work, and that's why they're fighting to stop it.
Exactly.
If they thought it wasn't going to work, they'd just step back and let it fail and say, you see?
Well, Baron,
that's my thought.
Sometimes people have they have the proclivity to kind of, you know, they sort of summarize in their own words. It's like, oh, I heard Howard Dean say Hitler was right. What? Howard Dean said that.
It was far right, as you meant politically.
Yeah. It's not exactly like immigration policy tearing the entire Democratic Party apart and putting a wedge there, you know. This is a disagreement on one point of a plan everyone agrees on.
Yep, there you go. Nurse Jackie, thank you.
Oh, my pleasure.
All right. All right, precious. And that too.
But can't help it.
In addition. Okay. All right, 18 minutes after the hour, right back with more Fridays with Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my. How ruthlessly absurd.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
You're bloody well right. You got a bloody right to say. Right. You're bloody well right. You know you got a right to say.
Her?
Supertramp. I think I met her.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Enough about Sydney Letters.
Sydney Letters, yeah.
All right. 23 minutes after the hour. Fridays with John Fugelsang in the New York Bureau.
Hello, children.
How is the wiener? Is wiener been yelled at in the subway yet today?
Man.
Or
It's just like watching Rod Stewart tour. It's just like, oh, make it stop, please. Just go. Just put him out of his misery. It's really bad. It's very, very painful for Anthony Weiner. I think most New Yorkers are just assuming that he's going to ride this thing out and lose the primary and go away. But it's tawdry all around. And but although things are looking good for Governor Spitzer, he's doing very well. And I wish you could see his TV commercials, because they kind of remind you of why people liked Elliot Spitzer in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
They're,
yeah.
They're airing all the time. I've never seen a controller TV commercial in my life.
Well,
but
yeah, right.
It's got the bucks,
you're
so.
Like, that's exciting. Yeah, it reminded me when I saw this story, and actually of Elliot Spitzer and your girlfriend, Elizabeth Warren.
Mm-hmm.
J.P. Morgan Chase reveals it faces criminal and civil inquiries in its role in the financial meltdown.
Poor bank.
They disclosed that it faced a criminal and civil investigation on whether it sold shoddy mortgage securities to investors in the run-up to the financial crisis. So, yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. I mean, he really was the sheriff, right? I mean, he was doing great.
Well, and that's why he was taken out. You know, I'm not going to defend what Elliot did. We all know it was wrong.
Right.
I'm not going to defend the hypocrisy of it. He had prosecuted prostitution rings when he was Attorney General of New York. But the fact is, the difference between Elliot and Representative Weiner is New Yorkers will forgive a sinner. They're not going to forgive a serial BS artist.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
What we're seeing here with Elliot is he was taken down using the Patriot Act. He was going after Wall Street crime, and the Bush administration used the Patriot Act to take him out for his personal life.
Wow.
It was an exact repeat of what they did to Clinton, but it worked. They went looking into his finances to see if he was crooked. He wasn't, so they went after him for his private sex life.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
So, you know, Rent Client 9. I mean, Elliot isn't a fan of the film, but I think it lays the case out pretty well.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I find most unforgivable at Anthony Weiner is it is put into my head now the visual of Sidney Leathers told Howard Stern that she wants to have hate sex with Sarah Palin.
Oh, I don't even know where to begin.
Because she deserves it.
It's so sad.
My God.
I don't even know what to say about that.
What people don't like about Anthony Weiner is, you know what's grosser than going to prostitutes is creepy online male behavior.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, guys, if a woman you've been with wants a picture of your junk, hang on to that woman forever, gentlemen. But if a woman you've never met wants a picture of your junk, it ain't a woman.
And,
any man who sends a picture of his junk over the computer unsolicited does not deserve to have a computer or junk.
And he's going around now thinking he's royalty, you know, like he's still entitled to being mayor of New York. It's like, no, you screwed up once, and then you screwed up
again.
Again.
And again. Yes.
The exact same way.
This week, what he did, when he was at a mayoral forum, and one of his Republican challengers came up to him, and they had an altercation, I'm sure you saw this clip,
and
Anthony Weiner actually
called him grandpa
at an AARP event.
Yeah.
At an AARP event!
Yeah.
I mean, is there any greater indication you might not have the temperament for this job?
Yeah, that's the bigger issue. Although he was very polite after orgasm, that was the other fun fact I took away.
Thank you.
He said thank you.
Thank you. This was said by a woman who'd never met him in person, correct? He was very polite after orgasm?
Right.
Oh.
I'm just trying to picture that. Thanks. I just... At least there's one redeeming quality. He's polite.
Yeah.
You know, I will say that I'm really turned off to how the media's treated his wife. That's really gross. I'm looking forward to this whole thing being done. Because, you know what? She stayed with him for her kid, and I respect that. So.
Yeah. Yeah, yep. I've said the same. By the way, I'm sure you saw this. Speaking of polls, different kinds.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Christie.
God.
He's way ahead in the latest poll. You saw this.
Yeah.
Salon has a piece, though. Chris Christie's one problem, conservatives hate him. New Jersey governor's leads a poll he probably wishes he didn't. He's Republicans' least favorite candidate. This is ironic, right? He's the farthest ahead in this, you know, early polling, right?
Oh, it'd be ironic if it wasn't predictable. I mean, it's insufficient hate for Muslims, insufficient hate for gays, insufficient hate for medical marijuana, and insufficient hate for climate change science. He does not pass the Tea Party purity thing.
Yeah, and that you know, Salon points that out. One particularly vile segment of the right hates him for one of Christie's unambiguously admirable acts, standing up to virulent Islamophobia. That Atlas Jugs will take him down.
For standing with the president to take care of his own state after a natural disaster. You know, I can't
wait. What a bastard.
Yes.
I can't wait for hurricanes or for tornadoes or floods to hit the great state of Kentucky and Rand Paul telling his suffering constituents, don't worry, I'll keep you people safe from government aid. Can't wait to see it.
The Rasmussen latest poll says 21% of Republicans nationwide say they vote for Christie to be their nominee in 2016, but when asked who they least want to be the nominee, 31% of Republicans said Christie. I mean, they've got to finish this internal war, before they figure out...
Yeah, and this is how it's going to be. It's going to be so much fun to watch because Christie's running, and I think Christie is probably the only one of them who could really thrash Hillary Clinton in a general election. I think he'd be the biggest threat.
So Ann Coulter
was right
about
that. Republicans will never let that happen.
Yeah.
Ann Coulter was right, yeah.
Yeah, she was, but she's cut him loose now. Ann Coulter, he's dead to her now.
Right.
Yeah, well, I mean, and the Salon piece says the ironic thing about this conservative distrust is that Christie actually would be a very conservative president. He's an anti-abortion, anti-gay marriage, staunch Catholic who believes in low taxes and no regulations at all, and the rest of the important policies on their checklist. So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see how the primary plays out.
Oh, it's going to be so much fun. It's going to be like the last time, but with IQs. It's going to be just as ugly, but with IQ left. And seeing Reince Priebus, which every man should get his check after age 50.
Yes,
seeing
absolutely.
Reince Priebus threatening CNN and NBC with higher ratings mm-hmm. by not having to carry a Republican debate shows how desperate and craven they are, because Reince really knows the truth. They don't want to have that many debates, because the more debates they have, the more embarrassing it is for the party.
Mm-hmm.
But these guys want to go on TV. The networks want to have them, so they're going to be debates whether Reince likes it or not.
Yep, there you go. 29 minutes after the hour. Right back. More Fridays of Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Whatever.
Thirty-four minutes after the hour. This hour brought to you by Carbonite. All right, 1-800. See how often we have nice business lunches around here?
How pleasant.
Yeah, I keep thinking, I have no idea what the cost of a nice business lunch is.
Neither do I. I have never, ever invited you to lunch, ever.
I mean, is it $50, $100, $300, $700? I have no idea.
Well, depends on what kind of water you order.
Okay.
Right, if you have a water sommelier.
There you go.
Right.
Yes.
John, that is how ridiculous Los Angeles is. We have a restaurant with a water menu and a water sommelier.
I lived there 10 years. I know all about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Dasani is Italian for Coke just sold you tap water.
Yeah,
exactly.
We were saying there's a guy in the alley filling the bottles with a hose laughing his ass off.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's that kind of stuff that makes me want to punch Los Angeles
in the face. But that's L.A. You could waterboard the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills if you said it was good for the pores. You really could.
All right. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Paul in Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Paul.
Hi.
Hello. Go ahead.
Hi. I'm calling from Florida. And I have a question locally on the news here last night. It wasn't Fox News, okay? It was a local CBS news show, news channel. They had a teaser on for the newscast at 11:30. And what they said specifically was, okay, there's going to be an Obama nightmare. Obamacare is going to cause the local doctors are going to change their hours. I want to make sure I remember this correctly, how they said it. Local doctors are going to change their hours, turn patients away, mm-hmm. and close their doors.
And stop giving medicine.
This is what the teaser said for the newscast.
Just going to shoot them on sight.
I go, of course, and I watch the actual newscast, and on the newscast, it's like the third feature. And then they go and they say something like, well, according to this survey, 45% of doctors, because of the increased paperwork from mm-hmm. Obamacare and also local state laws, have decided they may close their doors or change their hours. And, you know, but the local mm-hmm. news does this all the time down mm-hmm. here. And isn't there some way?
Well, that's what the local news always does. They say something really startling and then say, film at 11. And so
something
like,
in your refrigerator will kill you.
Will kill you.
Or maybe just your refrigerator. If
tonight, Latino man makes U-turn. That's local news.
Yeah.
But you know what?
Next time you knock at your doctor's office door, Dick Cheney's going to shoot you in the face. Film at 11.
Well, we had Tina Dupuy play Liz Cheney in a sketch I did the other night.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. I did. I saluted Liz Cheney as president of the Lucky Sperm Club, which she should be president of, and Tina came on in the end and took over my show because the American people want new blood, but I'm not done with it yet. It's my job. My daddy will shoot you in the face. thing about the healthcare system is, you know, in many ways, if it feels like, you know, Obamacare is removing people off the Titanic and putting them on a nicer sinking ship, keep in mind it's something. It's better. It's an improvement if it's not reform. And no country in the world, and this is what I say to all my anti-Obamacare family and loved ones, no other country in the world has ever tried to drop their universal health care to have a system like ours. The very notion of making employers pay for someone's health care is nuts to the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. The very notion of having insurance companies that can make millions of dollars in profit off of someone else's illness and suffering is crazy to the rest of the world.
Yeah,
and this is not socialized medicine. That's what Teddy Roosevelt and Richard Nixon fought for. This is a step in the right direction.
Yep. Germans have had it since Bismarck.
And the Germans have a great system because in Germany, if you make under $100,000, you're covered under their Medicare. And once you start making over $100,000, then you go and buy your own private plan. And if when you get older and your income goes down and your income goes below $100,000, boom, you're back on the state plan. It's great. It works. And no one goes bankrupt over inability to pay health care costs. Yeah. That's the number one cause of bankruptcy in this country.
The Germans are.
Yeah, exactly. Evelyn, you know, New Jersey.
We're patriots.
Hello, Evelyn.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead.
Okay, I was listening to your show, and I'm listening, and you're talking about Chris Christie, and you're saying that he's up in the polls and everything like that. I'm, like, wondering, like, where are they taking these, you know, surveys? Because he's not that well liked in New Jersey.
He sure is.
And I'm trying to figure out why is he up in the polls?
I think it's among Republicans.
Yes, nationwide.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, although, it's nationwide.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
If you were to run for president today.
Yeah. You know how it took a while of getting to know George Bush to realize what a dope he was?
No, this man, he's horrible. He's rude. Yes. He don't have respect for people. Dismissed people. He gave money to the new casino, Revel, a tax break when it wasn't even open because they couldn't finish building. I mean,
Evelyn, I said that a long time ago, John. That it's amazing how they, you know, the media even like just takes pure rudeness and makes it, oh, that's so refreshing.
Oh, it's a virtue.
Isn't bold and so courageous and
and belligerent and hostile and thinks that women who terminate pregnancies deserve to go to jail. What a guy!
What an awesome guy!
And you know, here in New York, Chris Christie single-handedly killed a tunnel connecting North Jersey to Manhattan that would have created so many jobs, that would have been so good for the economies of both New York City and North Jersey, and he killed it even though Obama would have helped him with the funding.
That just shows he's got moxie.
It's crazy.
I did it.
You like the cut of his jib?
Yep. He could have put up a toll booth and started shaving off his state's deficit. I mean, he could have done so much, and he killed it. You know how tough it is to get out of the city? You know how many more tunnels we need? And he just killed it. The guy's crazy.
By the by, Eleanor Clifton, and she's...
Wrong!
No, she's right.
You're wrong! How about her not be wrong?
She writes today, Paul Ryan's still a darling to Republicans, quietly getting ready for 2016.
Okay.
She writes, remember him? With the Republican Party in disarray, the ex-Veep candidate has been unusually quiet. Don't be fooled, writes Eleanor Clift. Paul Ryan's getting ready for 2016.
Oh, he certainly
is. Remember the magic when Mitt Romney picked Eddie.
Hi, everybody. Eddie's just become a man.
Mitt Romney chose Eddie Monster to be his GOP running mate.
Isn't that wonderful, Eddie?
Mitt chose the Eddie Budget Monster.
What am I going to do?
Honest, his choices weren't great.
You can't get
he wants to take Medicare and Florida. That should go over well in Florida.
You're the meanest kid I ever knew.
Romney chose Eddie Monster.
That's a dirty trick. Okay, I guess I got it.
Thank you.
Paul Ryan voted for TARP, Medicare expansion, No Child Left Behind, both stimuluses in 08 and 09, the Iraq War, and he hates government spending.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this is interesting what Eleanor writes. She's like, in anyone united party that's at war with itself, that might be the question Republicans are asking. The answer might be Paul Ryan, which is just hilarious. That's going to be their new, fresh new idea for 2016.
Privatize Medicare.
Yeah. basically, I think what they're describing is that he knows how to flip-flop well, which he might have learned from Mittens, but it says he knows how to use the words that are magic words for the right without sounding like some lunatic, said Norm Ornstein, who's, you know, from a conservative think tank. With the Republican leadership in disarray, Ryan has been unusually quiet for much of this year. A spokesman says he didn't want to engage the president and indicate any bitterness after the campaign. His careful approach can be seen as laying the groundwork for 2016.
Rebranding.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's...
And he's rebranding himself as the Republican who cares about poverty and wants to get to the core roots of poverty. And it's like, well, then, Paul Ryan, you can't stay a Republican once you know that.
Well, exactly.
I mean, you can't care about poverty and still claim that 30 years of Reaganomics trickling down has worked. Go outside, look around you. It did not work the way
right.
they promised us.
But, you know, it's interesting. We had Reverend Wallace on this morning, John,
love
and
him.
He told us that Paul Ryan called him about, he wrote this great piece about immigration reform being, you know, the moral thing to do. He made the biblical case for it. And
mm-hmm.
so anyway, but in this piece, it says Ryan is quietly pushing immigration reform, which, you
yeah.
know, goes to what... endorsing the work of the bipartisan Gang of Seven while stopping short of joining their effort. He favors a piecemeal approach. I mean, he's trying to have it every
way,
right?
He's trying to have it both ways. And because he's not soulless. You know, Paul Ryan's not a Mitch McConnell. He's not just this, like, you know, piece of coal for a heart. I mean, he really, I think,
yeah.
I think he was a nice Catholic boy. He lost his dad at an early age. He has a lot of empathy. I think he cares about people, but I think he's married to this Ayn Randian ideology. And he's either going to break away from it or he's going to become a mutant because you can't worship Jesus and Ayn Rand at the same time. It doesn't work.
Right.
I love this. Ryan is still a darling to all stripes of Republicans. A new Quinnipiac thermometer poll. Have you seen those?
Huh?
Finds Ryan gets the warmest reception of any potential candidate from GOP voters
wow.
with a, 68.7% temperature reading.
Hot.
Ooh. Watching his actions, Eleanor finishes, Ryan seems to be betting that the Tea Party is peaking and eventually will fade. What do you think, John?
You know what? I think that Paul Ryan... Well, I think the immigration debate has been the best symbol of how the GOP is going to eat its own so much they should just call it the Donner Party. Because you've got Marco Rubio, who pushed so hard all through the winter and spring to get this deal worked out in the Senate. And he was the poster boy for it. And he was the guy saying, hey, if we don't get at least 60% of Latino vote, we don't get the White House. And he got the Senate. And I give Rubio a lot of credit. The Senate actually passed this bill. I think it's crap, but it's a start. You know, you're assuming that people who've been living in this country for years as undocumented workers making below minimum wage are able to pay the thousands of dollars in fines and wait a dozen years to get citizenship, but it's a start.
Mm-hmm.
And right away, you got folks down south, you got folks in the Midwest who don't have illegal immigrants in their communities, in their districts. They don't care about Mexicans. They don't care about a pathway to citizenship. They care about campaigning against Mexicans to get votes. You think Lindsey Graham cares about immigration reform? So now you've seen Marco Rubio completely get owned, and what's he doing? He's talking about abortion. He's trying to win the Tea Party back, and
mm-hmm.
that's how you know he's running for president. They're at war with each other on this, and what you'll see is they may run against Mexicans and win lots of elections and congressional districts, but they can kiss the White House goodbye for a good while.
Yep. All right. 46 minutes after the hour, back with the remaining moments of Fridays with Bugelsang on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Whoa, that was cool.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Mm. Yeah.
There are some good girls who like to be bad girls, just not with Robin Thicke, and he doesn't understand
exactly.
that.
51 minutes after the hour, Fridays with John Fugelsang. Robin Thicke says his record label did not like Blurred Lines. When they first heard it, they wouldn't even pay for the video, and then as soon as they saw the video, they said, this is a smash. As long they had to see the visual of the disrespect to women.
That is one of the catchiest songs that's come out in years. How could they not hear a single in that?
Maybe they listen to the lyrics.
You know what? It's a catchy song.
They really suck. What rhymes with hug me? The lyrics suck. The lyrics are
embarrassing. That is the stupidest lyric of all time. What
rhymes with
hug me?
Tom Jones is kicking himself for not thinking of that in the 70s.
That is not the kind of song you listen to for the lyrics.
Whack white guy douchebag crap. It's a great song. Come on, you the hottest bitch in this club, this white boy raised in Beverly Hills or Malibu saying you the hottest bitch in this club while he blows smoke into a girl's face.
Right.
I don't know why a label would
I've never
awesome.
Seen the video, so...
Well, you should watch the video. You know what, Chris?
Watch
the Mylar balloons and watch Robin Thicke jump the shark of lame hunkydom.
You know what?
You see what the Mylar balloons spell out in the video.
This has done wonders for his career.
Yeah, well, it has.
Good for him. He started out with nothing. Oh, no, he was born really wealthy. I forgot. But anyway. no, it's a very
Daddy
good song.
Got him
that's,
this, Daddy wrote him this song so that he could get rich.
Dude, it's a good song, I would say, more because of Farrell and T.I. than anything.
Sure, that's true.
He surrounded himself with good people, much like Stephanie does.
Exactly right. Stephanie's a no talent, but she has you guys.
Wait a minute. We're not getting dragged into this.
No, Rob, you know, it's a good song. It is, you know. It, you can't change that. It's a good song.
Yeah. Scott in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Scott.
Hi, Stephanie. Love you guys.
Thank you.
I have a question. I started spinning recently.
Nice.
It's an addiction.
And, apparently. I'm wondering what the deal is with the class. What does the class offer that I'm missing?
Okay, you sit on the bike and move your feet real fast.
Yeah,
right.
Well, that's it.
So
I think
okay.
The community, I think there's like a lot of people who you know, I've become a bike rider in New York. I hadn't ridden a bike in New York in years, and I got one last month, and I ride to work every day now. And I think it's the community. I think having a class to go to motivates people to get out of their house and go be somewhere at a certain time and exercise.
Stephanie's class is apparently run by Friedrich Nietzsche because they have all kinds of slogans.
Yeah.
Yes.
That pain is just weakness leaving the body.
Right.
And
it
does not kill you, only makes you stronger. Or sometimes it just kills you.
It's cultish, kind of like this CrossFit thing that's going on. It's just a cult.
Schwitzen macht frei.
I like to pretend I'm the Wicked Witch of the West on my bicycle. It's hard to explain. You're right. It's that they blurt slogans at you that make no sense if you were not in that state. Right. Steve in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with John. Hello, Steve.
Hello.
Hello, Steve. Go ahead.
Oh, hi. I just wanted to mention something about Obamacare. Uh-huh. I don't know if you remember a gentleman named Wendell Potter.
Yeah.
He was a former vice president of public relations for one of the big insurance firms.
Right.
I think it was Cigna, but I'm not sure. Right. But he made a comment back with all the controversy started over Obamacare being passed. He said it would never be ruled unconstitutional, nor would it ever be repealed. Yeah. And talk show hosts were stunned. Why would that happen? And he said, because the insurance companies know Obamacare is the best deal they're ever going to get from the federal government for health care. And so they backed off. I wasn't surprised at all when Roberts was the dissenting vote against overturning it.
Yeah, well, because he's pro-business. Yeah, yeah, I get that.
Mr. Potter, you're nothing but a warped, frustrated old man.
It's not that, Mr. Potter.
No, he's not.
He's a good Mr. Potter.
He's done my show several times.
Really? By the way, Lindsay Lohan, I'm required to do Lindsay Lohan rehab stories.
Okay. Yes.
She's dating a guy she met in rehab. I think that's supposed to be a no-no.
I don't know.
She had a lover in rehab, a 23-year-old male patient.
Yeah, I don't think you're supposed to have relations while in rehab.
No. Here's a weird fun fact. The affair has come to light a day after it was discovered that Chaka Khan had been at the rehab at the same time as Lindsay, but left because of her diva behavior.
Chaka Khan thinks
you're a diva, you're just saying.
Chaka was in rehab for hanging out with Republicans.
Chaka Khan?
Chaka Khan.
Chaka Khan. Stephanie Miller.
Chaka Khan.
Stephanie Miller.
Right.
Chaka Khan.
I wonder if they had to say it a few times if she was, when they do, roll call for the meetings. Chaka Khan? Chaka Khan?
Chaka Khan, you here?
Chaka Khan?
Did she take off again?
Chaka Khan? Chaka Khan? Oh, you're here. Okay.
Chaka Khan, Chaka Khan.
She's had other hits, you know.
Tell me something good.
Don't make me say it again. Are you here? Oh, okay, I'm here. Sorry I'm late. Chaka Khan? Okay, I'm just going to keep saying I'm going to beat that joke into the ground. All right. Oh, this does not seem like a good idea. Evel Knievel's son goes on a drunken rampage in his motorhome.
Oh, no.
He's going to end up in rehab. The daredevil son of Evel Knievel. See, that's sad when you got to get drunk and pretend you're your dad with your motorhome. A drunken rampage in his motorhome.
Did he try to jump the Snake River in the motorhome? That probably was a bad...
Bad idea.
Judgment on
probably a little easier on the motorcycle than it is. Try to jump them from Grand Canyon in a motorhome. Oops. Well, this is horrible. A heartless crook apparently ripped off James Gandolfini's prized Rolex after his unexpected death out of his hotel. You know, and the ironic thing, Tony Soprano would have killed him for that. Seriously?
It's bad, you know.
Right. Exactly. All right. That was bad. John Fugel sang.
Yes.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
You brought up the Hillary movie a little while ago. Chris says he thinks they should not be doing them. I say, why not?
Why shouldn't they? Chris, if a network has to make a profit and she's the most famous and popular woman in the world for 12 years in a row, why wouldn't they do it?
Well, because it's going to remind voters of all of her warts, too.
Well, I think voters have a right to be reminded of her warts. It's not going to stop her from getting elected.
I love Reince Priebus threatening the networks.
You don't stop right now. I'm going to come
Reince Priebus
there
is a, but Reince is an idiot. He should know that. He should know that reminding people of Hillary's warts would only help the Republican Party.
Yeah,
he's only doing this because he wants to have less debates because he knows it's a killer for his party.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's exactly it. He doesn't want to have debates on CNN or NBC anyway.
No,
right?
They want to have all the debates on Fox, which is even stupider because if all the debates are on Fox, Steph, and this is why I'm praying that Reince gets his way. If most of the debates are on Fox, they're going to be in the bubble times 10. And that means there's a much greater chance for these guys to say stupid stuff they'd never say on CNN or NBC.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's why it's going to be funny.
Yay! That's it for us. Watch John Fugelsang on Viewpoint. It's going on a business sale on Current Television Network. And
only four shows left. Mario Cuomo on Monday.
Yay! Woo-hoo! All right. We will see you then. Love you, John.
I'll see you. Have a great weekend, guys.
Bye. See you Monday on the Stephanie Miller Show.